Oh man, what a great show that was. I actually felt really confident in that episode. I think it's exactly what I needed to get back into things. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Of course, as always, I'm your host, Mr. Badbit, aka Joseph. I did that in reverse, but you get the gist. Kyle's not here this week. Obviously, he's tending to his family. For those of you who don't know, as of recording, November 3rd, Kyle just got out of the hospital with his baby nephew, Owen, who battled a respiratory illness. I did not know this, but apparently there's this thing called RSV going around, and it's pretty much the long and short of it. It's like bronchitis for kids. It sounds awful when I say it like that. It's like the Flintstones tablets of deadly diseases, but it's like a bronchitis that affects specifically small children. And it's really serious for kids that are like, 1 or 2 years old. Owen is exactly that. He's 1 year old. So, when Kyle told me, usually when Kyle's going through something, he's just like, I want to power through because I know I need this. And I'm like, that's fair because, like, y'all don't know how therapeutic this show is. We're gonna get really vulnerable here in a sec, but like, I've been going through burnout for the past 2, 3 months now, and there are times where I'm like, I don't want to record. Because it just, I'm so tired. I'm so burnt out. And then I start recording the show and I'm like, right, this is exactly why I love this show so freaking much. Like I needed it. It was like my therapy. And Kyle has those times too. And it's actually, don't tell him this, you guys. It's actually when he's like his best, because it's providing that distraction I feel like he so needs. But midway through, and I thought he was gonna power through. I'm like, you know what? He's gonna do this because I know he needs it. I'm not gonna look for anybody because I know he needs it. And midway through the day, he's like, Joe, I can't, I can't do it. It's gotten worse. He's in the hospital. I was like, oh shit. That's when I got really nervous because usually I'm very like calm, like everything's gonna be okay. My dad's thing, everything's gonna be okay, and it ended up being the case. But when I heard he was in the hospital, I got scared. Because I know Owen just battled COVID a few months ago, and he was in the hospital for that too. So I'm like, I could only imagine what his little lungs have gotten themselves into. And so, I got really nervous. I'm sorry. That was like me trying to be emotional. It's indigestion. But like, I got really, scared in that moment. I was like, you take families first off, family's always first. You take as much time as you need. We're gonna rally around you. Of course, this community is amazing. And reached out to Luke. He was able to come on. Really, he really saved me. And honestly, he did fantastic as well. Though, let's be honest, that Last of Us comment was fucking slander. And I will not hear another word about Last of Us being nothing short than great. But yeah, fantastic show. That being said, I want to also talk to you guys about how I've been feeling the past few months. As I'm going to be honest with you guys, again, much more vulnerable episode. I kind of feel like I'm drowning a little bit. And I needed to make a few changes so that I don't feel like I'm drowning as much. We have a secret project besides the trophy room awards that we're working on, and that secret project is a lot. We're really excited for it. There's a lot of, honestly, I'm not kidding around, financial pressure around it as well because Patreon is very much fueling this endeavor. And then we have the Trophy Room Awards. We have the show that we're doing currently, of course. And then, like, what are we gonna do for episode 300? And it's usually when I have way too many branching paths, I become indecisive. And that's exactly what's been happening. Coupled with, guys, my job has been really rough the past few weeks. And honestly, the last few months, we've been short-staffed since August. And I hit a breaking point about a week ago, and I was just like, this is it. This is the change I need to make. And it's a weird one. So I put in my 2 weeks at this job. What I do essentially is I care for severely autistic individuals. Sorry if that's not the right verbiage, but I'm tired and I'm dumb. But they're severely on spectrum, and a lot of them are nonverbal. They really need our help, and they're also very challenging. Just you know, having a group of them of close to a dozen, you know, it's so funny because we don't think about it in their day-to-day lives, but like, you know, communicating with one person is really hard. Communicating with a bunch of people and trying to read the room is really difficult when those other people are also different from you and you don't understand why. And you have these caregivers that, you know, change faces because a new person's coming in and caring for you. And there's a level of trust that you have to build there. Nonetheless, it's a very physically demanding job. I'll tell you one instance without breaking a HIPAA violation. I was stopping a client from taking a coffee because that's what they like to do. They like to steal coffee. And here's not also another non-HIPAA violation. They're my favorite client. They're one of the more challenging ones as well when it comes to their behaviors. That's what, you know, a good behavior is like them smiling. A bad behavior is them hitting. And I had to stop. Ooh, what was up with that laugh? Nonetheless, I had to stop them down the hall. I had to try to grab them to buy time for the person to close the door. And they tripped. And then I tripped. And I fell on my knees. Ouch. I have a 31-year-old man, overweight to say the least. I fell on my knees. I fell on my chest. I fell on my arm. And I blacked out. And it was like the Call of Duty 2 where you wake up in D-Day and like everything's moving around you. And you're like, what's going on? And then it suddenly, life becomes static again. You know, the room stops moving. And I'm like, what happened? And it was a pain so bad. We actually all thought I tore a ligament in my arm, or a tendon rather, in my arm. It still hurts, but that's not the case. It's a very severe sprain. But humble bragging, I'm pretty good now. And it was at that point where I'm like, yeah, this is definitely the right call, because if this happened, what's going to happen next week? What's going to happen the week after that? Or the week after that? So I gotta call it here. There's also some things going on with the management that I didn't agree with, and I felt that it was time to go at that point as well. And honestly, that's not even like the worst thing I've had to deal with. That's just one instance off the top of my head that's happened. So, you know, people have come up to me like, Joe, you sound tired. You look tired. I've been way more irritable. I'm yearning for quiet more than ever now. It's just been so much stress that I feel like it's been taking the joy out of other things that I really want to do, which is like podcasting. So I felt like I needed a change. And honestly, after the week I've just had, this was the best choice. And it's also a weird thing, because as much as I know I need to leave this job, I also love it because of all the clients. And the one that steals the coffee is my favorite client. He is so adorable. I love him so very much. And he's like a son. I really mean that. Like, I care for him like he was my boy. And I find like, he's actually one of the people that I looked at him and I was like, I understand now when parents say like, I would die for my kid. I'd die for this guy. You know, like, this is, I want to protect them with all my heart and my soul. But even then I know I needed to skedaddle. And so that's where we're at now. And hopefully this means that we get to tackle the Patreon in a better way, which I know we've been slackening a bit on, because it's just, I'm so fucking tired. Guys, I'm really exhausted. And bring some new ideas to it that I'm going to want to talk to Kyle about. We're going to have a lot of time this weekend as I go to Extra Life to see what we can do in January, because I feel like it's going to be very fitting if we do something really cool in January. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, secret project and such. About different shows. And this goes into the next thing about what I want to know what you guys... I know what needs to change on Patreon. I think consistency is it. But I want to know what you want to actually see from us in terms of shows. Like, I know you guys love the after show. I see it. I know you guys like Road to Greatness. I see that. But what is something you want to see us dive into? Let me know in the comments below. You know, let us know if there is an idea you have. You know, we may not take the idea, but we're going to look at it, consider it, and see what we can do. Because I've been thinking about, like, you know, we had a show called Top Tier. Well, it was good in theory, but it just took way too much work to actually put into practice. And it was like, Kyle and I are fighting over something that is what we consider top tier, and there has to be a winner and a loser. Again, a great concept, but a lot of producing goes into it, and a lot of like trying to find a quote unquote guest judge and trying to just make that show work. It's just like, oh shit, that's become a 10, 20 hour ordeal. So I was like, instead of us arguing, because God, don't we hear it enough? Why not once a month, Kyle and I talk about something that we consider top tier? And it could be like top tier food. It could be something as top tier of movies, top tier TV, top tier something. Something that we love. And the other person trying to gauge why we love that thing. And I think the more inquisitive nature is something that I miss a lot in games. Or just in conversations in general. So that was like one of the ideas I was thinking and workshopping. But I want to know what you guys want to see and really hear from us as well, of what you guys would like to see from us. But other than that, it's been a journey the last few months. And a lot of also the other thing I want to kind of talk about as well. So Patreon, I want to know what I want to workshop some stuff. I want to know what you guys and gals are thinking out there. What you would like to see from us again. The other thing I want to kind of talk about as well is imposter syndrome. Whew. Sorry, man. I can't edit that out. It's currently 11 o'clock at night and I'm a tired boy and I need to wake up early, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go back and play Call of Duty. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ruin my sleep. And I got like a 25-hour stream to do in a day. Yeah, but that's how my mind works. Anyway, nonetheless. Imposter syndrome. I want to kind of talk this out with you guys. And understand what goes in my head. So like, the one thing that I see, you know, like, the two-star review guy, right? We joked around about a few episodes back. Like, those reviews really suck. And I was like, why did that one irritate me? And it's because I think that's such a shitty little thing to ding me with, right? Where like, I feel like one of the problems, it's definitely like the Twitter and YouTube culture when it comes to the comment section, is like, you didn't say Atreus's name right. How could you not think of it? And it's like, yeah, but you didn't think about the amount of work that goes into this whole process. And your one problem is you didn't like how someone said Atreus. Like that's kind of dumb, right? And the one thing that I've been kind of going through, and I want to kind of talk about the process here with you guys, is the trophy room takes so much time to make, because I am so serious about making this podcast the best it can be. You know, trying to find someone, a guest on the show, that takes time, that takes effort. Making the show notes are typically anywhere between like 6 to 9 pages long. Like, it's meticulous. And I'm going through notes to make sure I'm getting the best article that I feel like we're going to have the best time, reading, while at the same exact time.
All right, I'm just going to let this go out. I'm sorry, it happened.
Now I made you guys go on, right? It's contagious out here. At the same exact time, it's getting all the information you need. That takes time. Sometimes show notes are really easy. Sometimes show notes take about an hour. Sometimes show notes take, like 3 hours to make, because I really want to make sure it's right. Getting all your questions in there. I feel so guilty when I don't get a question in. I got to kind of try to nip that in the bud for me, because I can't, we're getting big enough to where like I can't put everybody's question in. I got to be okay with that, but like then doing the show and then editing the show. So like the show itself is now going on 2 hours, and I feel like a lot of you guys, first and foremost, I track this stuff. So I thought y'all would dip out after an hour, 30 minutes. But I tested the 2 hour and 30 minute show. It actually had better retention time than some of our shorter shows. So I'm like, oh, okay. So time doesn't really matter. So usually an episode it takes to record is about 2.5 hours long. Because I like to bullshit with Kyle in the beginning, just so that we get our rhythm. You know, we get comfortable or shaking off the rust and all that. And just to tell him like some of my crazy ideas and his actual logical plans, because I'm just chaos. And then we do the show, we record it and we nail it. Then I have to edit it. And it's more like sound mixing. It's really important. Nah, I'm fighting this one.
Nope.
It won. The yawn won. I fought, but it persevered. What was I saying? Show's about it. Oh, yeah. Editing. It's more like sound mixing. I try to get the sound, as good as I can. I'm not a sound engineer, but I take great pride in it. And it's every time, like, there's a major guest on our show, that's the first thing they're like, you guys sound so fucking good. I'm like, yeah. And that takes anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes, depending on, 30 to 40, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how many segments or how many things need to be broken up. If I said something that could cancel me, something along those lines, which I do a lot. It takes a bit of time, all joking aside. So, that's an extra hour on top of that. And then I got to make the thumbnail. God knows I'm a stickler with that too. The one thing with me with thumbnails is I never want to make something that's clickbaity. And I feel like I got to lean into it a little bit. Like, I don't know why I hold so many like high standards of this is what a good thumbnail looks like. Because honestly, I see some pretty shitty thumbnails with shocked emoji faces and they do great. And if my content's great, then I don't have to give a shit really about what the thumbnail looks like, but I want it to look good. I want it to look professional at the very least. The one thing that I have been balancing more and more in my head is that I have to also remember that there's people in the industry that listen to this show. It's just nuts to hear, but it's true. And my one thing is I don't want to offend those people. Not to say like, oh, PlayStation's not going to give me a code, but like, I don't want to make someone feel like shit or demean their position. Because I'm speaking out of hand or out of pocket or saying something console warsy. Like I'm in that zone where I care about everybody listening and not making myself sound like an asset. Or looking like one as well. Like the thumbnail's important. Again, I don't want to do the shocked emoji faces, but maybe there's are going to work. And I don't want to say something too flame worry because again, like I was thinking about PSVR 2, I didn't want to do like, is it overpriced or something like clickbaity like that? Cause I know that there are VR devs that listen to the show. And so I want to respect them. I don't want to shit on that thing just to get a click on it. If that makes any sense. Because I know I feel like it's low-hanging fruit to do something like that to me. But nonetheless, then it's the thumbnail. Then it's making the social posts for the next day. And then it's me waking up early, making sure everything's running right. Because sometimes it fucking don't. And it's scarred me when it's not. And the day of, I'm making sure the social posts go out, making sure it's hitting where it needs to hit, and making sure everything's all right. And then I start doing the Patreon stuff, since that's the extra stuff, because I can't squeeze that into what is already a 8-hour project. It's just too much goddamn time. And this is all in a span of, like, yeah, getting the Wednesday show up and running takes about... I would say that my good night is done. Like, Wednesdays are reserved solely for this podcast. So from 5 o'clock to, I'm being even fucking generous there, 4 o'clock when I'm out of work till 12 at night. That's the podcast in a nutshell. Adding all the stuff. I don't know. That sounds like a lot. It is. Is it too much? Absolutely. But then when I see, like, those little shitty comments, it just hurts my feelings a little bit. Because I'm like, I just poured so much time into it. And this is the thing, we're nitpicking shit. But at the same exact time, maybe that is an actual thing. Right? But again, you guys love the voices. I've heard it loud and clear. It's staying. That guy's 2-star review, I hope it deteriorates into 1. But I just want to, like, make y'all guys aware that, like, content creators, we're people, man. We go through it. There's a lot of people that I know that are going through that imposter syndrome, the feeling of I'm not good enough. It happens every time there's a fucking PlayStation game that comes out. I'm like, why aren't we reviewing it? Right, I forget. PlayStation's super picky. PlayStation in other places isn't actually PlayStation. For example, the one thing I always joke around, I'm like, PlayStation Canada always gives shit to all the Canadians. And we do better than them. Boo. I'm a piece of shit for even saying that out loud. And I feel guilty for saying it, but, like, I feel guilty. Yeah. But I'm like, I put so much goddamn work into it. But I don't realize that's not actually PlayStation Canada is how to say this lightly. Not lightly, but factually and shit. They're not actually, like, PlayStation Canada. Like, those, that's an outside group hired by PlayStation to do their PR. So it's not actually, like, PlayStation internal. And this is also another part of, like, well, why do you give a shit if PlayStation doesn't send you a thing? Honestly, it should be something that maybe you applaud, because you're not just saying something that they want to hear. I think that's really fucking important as well. So it's like, yeah, you get bummed out because I couldn't play God of War early. You're still going to play God of War. It's going to be fine. And the workaround is I get to talk to people that I love and admire and talk about their thoughts on this game. So it's just like, it's an excuse to have a good conversation with someone that I respect. Why would I be upset about it? And again, we're not just saying what we think PR companies are going to like. So that's more important. And that is important to me. I know a lot of like content creators that they think that's the way. They're like, I'm just going to be really safe. I'm going to play it really safe. I'm going to say the thing and share the thing that the PR guy wants me to say or share, or I think that this will open up a door for me. And I'm like, that's a lot of bullshit. No, the PR guy is going to encourage you to say something good because genuinely that's what they want. They're using you. Just be yourself. I know too many people that tread it lightly, where I respect the people like Season Gaming. Is a organization I always pimp out. Ains's work is phenomenal. They just tell it how it is. There's no, you know, they're not afraid to speak their mind. So it's just like, just keep doing you. Don't focus on that. But it's hard not to when your focus is PlayStation and you feel like that there's no reciprocation or at least like a wink and a nod or a tip of a hat. But there is. And it's just not in that form. And again, I have to be okay with that because PlayStation and Nintendo, especially Nintendo, are very picky in terms of who they pick and why they pick. So, like, Nintendo is a great example. Nintendo actually doesn't choose a lot of, like, gaming-centric channels to do any coverage for. The reason why I think they don't do that is because they're like, we know gamers are going to play our shit. We're in fucking Nintendo. We got this link. But you know the audience we actually want to hit? Kids. Okay. How do we reach kids? Are kids actually on Twitter? Absolutely not. Elon's running it now. Did you really want to do? Pretty much make Twitter OnlyFans? Private videos that you pay and it's like a whole porn element to it? It's pretty nuts. Anyway, nonetheless, kids don't want to be on here. How do we reach these kids? Well, like commercials on TV, that's still going to hit. Commercials in a roadblocks or whatever, that's going to hit, sure. But it's actually in family and lifestyle creators. That's what Nintendo's bread and butter is. So it's about the family, getting the family involved. Hey, this is something that's going to be good for your kid because it's the parent that's going to make the monetary choice, not the child. It's the parent. So that's what they go after. So it's even harder if you're a Nintendo creator because they generally don't want to fuck with you. They want to really, they are actually probably the ones that want to control what you actually feel about that thing, believe it or not. So they're the most picky, and that is my assumptions as to why they're that picky. But again, I have to be okay with not getting that thing. And I know it sounds really weird, and also it sounds super entitled because I think it is. And I have to say, you know what, Joe? That's privilege talking. So how about you just sit back, relax, and enjoy talking about PlayStation with your best friend Kyle, and really just sit back. Look, this is therapy. I'm liking this. And I really just sit back and enjoy the time that I'm having with you guys, which I do. You know, we talk about, and it's no bullshit. Like, I really think about you guys when I'm recording. Like, I think about, like, Nagachaka. I think about Jose. Like, I think about everybody, man. It's so awesome. Like, Maximum Carnage. That was such an awesome goddamn message you left. I really needed to hear that. I appreciate it so much. Also, I want to thank everybody who reached out for birthday messages. I was so tired, I couldn't even get through them. Like, that's how tired I've been lately. Again, I'm really happy that I think that's going to change soon. But that being said, though, guys, you know, imposter syndrome is weird because it is so irrational thought. And it's just because you know how much work you put into it. It's just the acknowledgement. And yeah, it sucks that like Jane Doe got to review it, we don't. But I also don't know the journey that Jane Doe has gone through. And who's dictating what they're worth and what I'm worth? Why am I dictating it? You know what I mean? Or measuring myself too. Journeys are different. We gotta respect that process. I think it sucks because I feel like so many creators are going through that burnout because a lot of the conversations that we're having around games, I feel a lot of it's the same conversation for sure. I get it. I'm tired of talking about Activision Blizzard too. But also I feel like the conversations around games are becoming more and more toxic and defensive. And I don't know why they shouldn't be. It should be more joyous. And sure, we can be critical of them. I'm critical of games. I'm not saying that we only talk about only good things, please. No, like there are elements of games that we have to, you know, be critical on. And there's aspects of the video game industry and culture that I feel is important to tackle. You know, so like when we're talking about toxicity at Activision Blizzard, this is the first thing that comes to my head. That's a stance that I will fucking gladly fall on the sword for. Some Chad doesn't fucking like it, because that's something that matters. Unionization in the video game industry is fascinating to me, and I think the last console wars, like, I was just like, I really want to know more about this, because I felt like, no offense, Sean, you're probably listening to this, but I felt like we were kind of talking out of our ass at one point. I was like, let's stop this because I'm not knowledgeable on it. I want to talk to people that are knowledgeable on it. And unfortunately, that was one of my plans, was like interviewing a person every single month and in depth. It's something that Season Gaming does, and I want to copy it because I want to talk to people that are smarter than me, that are in this industry, and they're just brilliant. and I want to pick their brain on creation. I want to pick their brain on, you know, their slant, what they're fighting for, you know, what got them into gaming. Sure, that's a great conversation, but like, how does VO actually work? You know, what does an environmental artist actually fucking do? How does the pipeline look at from the beginning to the middle to the end? That's fascinating to me. That's great. To me, it's less about, I want to know your gaming credentials, as I want to know what it takes to make a video game. And again, I know the skeleton work, but like, do I really though? That's the thing that I want to discover, is how little I actually know. And there's some people that I would love to talk to about unionization in gaming and why it's important, maybe the why or why nots to it. And I don't want to be fence-sitting either. I feel a lot of us fence-sit, man. I've seen a lot of people fence-sit. It's important that I take stands for things that I believe in. And it's important to come into like an interview going like, listen, y'all, I'm pretty pro-union. Like, I worked for a union, they treated me right. But I want to understand what could be the downfalls of one. What could be the negatives of one? Because I'm also just one man, one perspective. So I want to nail different perspectives. Like, I would love to get someone like, there's this woman by the name of Jessica. She helped orchestrate, the Activision Blizzard stuff. And I would love to pick her brain on it. But I'd also like to pick someone's brain that maybe is more critical on unions and games, because it is still something that's so split. Those are the things in gaming I wish we talked about more, rather than like, why is Gotham Knights 30 FPS and not 60 FPS? Like, I wish we could move past those conversations and have those deeper leveled conversations. You know, listening to the Same Brain podcast, which I forget the women's names, but they're great creators. Interview Phil Spencer. I loved getting, though I definitely, her as a PR person, definitely very PR, very PR'd. But like, I loved getting Phil Spencer's in-depth thoughts on in-depth, like, you know, very intricate things. Like, that really interests me, you know? And that's what I kind of want to do. I want to have more of those conversations. You know, I see a lot of PlayStation. Actually, let me look this up. And here's where now I start flame warring shit. If I look up YouTube, and this, I'm probably going to get a God of War spoiler here, but whatever, we're going to fucking do it. PlayStation. Let's just see. God of War Ragnarok reviews are insane. Best PlayStation game ever. It's like, come on, man. They probably didn't even review it. PlayStation VR 2 price and games review. Okay, that's a title I would make. That's not that bad, RGT. Does it suck? Here's a good one. Does it suck? I hate that. Please don't do that. Dreamcast guy, I liked you a lot a year or two back ago. Don't do like, those are thumbnails I would never do. Mm-mm, don't like that. Okay, I love Mystic. He's a voice of the PlayStation I would love to get. He's fucking so great. PSVR 2, this is a fucking title I'd like. PlayStation VR 2, launch details, price, release, new games, pre-order, free upgrades, and more. That's a great fucking title. That's what I'd like. And then his thumbnail is the box, some games, and then the price. Fair. I like that. Oh, look, Ryan Tifford's here. Now we're getting to the shit I've already seen. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, here's one. All right, guys. Real talk. I'm going to call someone out. All right. Ready? PS Ready. If you look up them on YouTube, holy shit. This is what I never want to be. New PS5 arrives early. Someone's fired. That's a shitty fucking title. That's also a shitty fucking thumbnail. It's like a it's like a mock PlayStation 5 Slim. And then the next one is forced upgrade. It's like PlayStation with a red around it and a chunk being taken off. Sony says get it before it's too late. PlayStation 5 upgrade. What the fuck does that mean? This is all clickbait garbage to make you click on a thing. Like, Here's another one. Bad news. PlayStation 5 forced to go all digital by EA. What? Goodbye physical is the... Okay, that thumbnail's not bad. It's like, what? Okay, and here's another one. And maybe this is what fucking grinds my goddamn gears. Actually, this whole channel is about to grind my fucking gears. New PlayStation 5 arrives in the U.S. Get it today. 16-minute video. And I'm looking at it now. This is garbage. Like they're just stock photos. Okay. All right. Here's the last one. I'm done. Devs already have PlayStation 5 Pro. Are you mad? What? First off, the fuck they actually do. Secondly, another clickbaity thing. And another clickbaity time. God, this is what I hate. I don't even know now why I'm here. I'm just angry. I'm just upset. Oh, yeah. Because there's too much clickbait garbage on YouTube. I want stuff that has substance. And I feel like when it comes to gaming, there's no substance anymore. You know, in its coverage. There's so few people doing in-depth things that people, I feel like, really truly care about. In the deeper level of video games, it's all rather surface level, or here to get you a click, or here to get you upset, or here to play it safe because I don't want to step on any toes. And I think it's time we got to start stepping on some toes to make content that I feel like is valuable to people. And I think that's what's important to me. And I think content that I value. And I'm sorry, I got distracted. Jurnee Smollett's son made his acting debut. Oh, see, he's... Uh-oh, they got me. Jurnee Smollett. Oh my gosh, she's very attractive. Now, I'm a man in one-track mind. I see Jurnee Smollett on Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show. I don't even like the Tonight Show. I think that's actually one of the worst... The worst Tonight Shows. Oh my gosh, she's gorgeous. Jimmy Fallon, why do you? What's with the beard, Jimmy? It's not working. Here's the thing. His laugh annoys me. Jimmy Fallon's laugh. And see, look, I'm like, ugh, there's a lot of production in that show. But there's more to it than, like, I don't like his voice. It's a lot of his jokes are structured so that they offend no one. Or they make him look likable rather than, like, him trying to tread a line comedically. It's actually something that, like, someone that I really love, David Letterman, would do. Like, David Letterman, king of comedy and king of late night. Conan as well. Like, their satire on, like, world events is like, hey, you need a fucking break from world events. Everything's a little bit fucking crazy. I'm just gonna, as the Brits say, take the piss out of it. You know, where Jimmy's is, it's not that. It's not risk-taking. It's again, safe and doesn't want to step on any toes. Nonetheless, back on track. I'm sorry. I got ADHD. Content that I do admire comes from people like Luke. Don't tell him I said this, but like Xbox Expansion Pass, it's one of the best shows out there because his interviews are stellar, unmatched even. He is probably one of the best interviewers out there in this industry. And it sucks that I feel like he gets the spotlight he deserves because the go-getting attitude that he has and the guests that he's been able to have on is just fucking crazy. Like, he had Mike Chapman, who is the literal director of Sea of Thieves. He's had Xbox execs on his show, and he's absolutely fucking killed it. And he's asking hard-hitting questions in a non-gotcha manner. It's awesome. It's great. But his thumbnails are bad. Luke, what are we going to do with you? What are we going to do? It's too busy. It's not clickbaity. They're all just very busy. I like this one. The first party check-in. That's a good thumbnail. It's decent. It's good. Anyway, nonetheless, that's been my frustration in the content creation side of things. To make a very long story short, there's not enough substance out there. And what I love about the trophy room is I feel like there is substance, and I do feel like what we're doing is different from the other shows out there. Again, I just ran you through a couple of thumbnails, and I thought this was absolutely the worst thing that I've seen. You know, it's a whole lot of just gotcha, you're here now. I want it to be more than a little trick. I want you to hopefully get something out of this. And whether that's a laugh, whether that's an inquisitive thought, yeah, it's something that I hope you got something that you didn't know you needed, but you got, you know? But you have now. It's important to me, man. It really is. It's something I think a lot about, because if we were just making just another PlayStation show, and if I was just saying the things that everybody wanted me to say, I think that'd be a very boring show that I know I wouldn't listen to. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about, making content that I want to watch, making content that I want to listen to. And hopefully that means that you want to listen to that as well. So yeah, that's what I've been going through. I hope you guys can see that. A lot's been going in my mind, and I actually kind of like this one-to-one. Also, just to end it here, Spark notes this journal entry. Papa's all right. Papa Badbit is A-okay. The one thing that we actually got him, and, you know, my dad's kind of not, he's very frugal. Like, he does not like to treat himself, which I'm often fighting him to treat himself. But like, you know, with his heart thing, he got like the $800 Apple Watch, because this thing will actually read if his heart makes an irregular beat, or if, I believe, if he's actually like maybe having a cardiac incident. I hate to say it, like heart attack, but like if there's something happening with his heart, the Apple Watch actually tells him, hey, something, not like this, but he's like, something's about to pop off. So my dad, when we told him about the nurse, it's like reads the heart meter. That's what it was. So that they can actually get a better idea of what his heart's doing on a daily basis. The Apple Watch will actually get that information and send it to the doctors, which I thought, it's fucking wild. Tech's kind of crazy, but they're just like, you should get that. And my dad literally just did. And I'm like, good, you treated yourself. It's a nice looking thing. And there's health like implications for it, so you could track and hopefully not literally fucking kill yourself working. But he's good now. We're all good now. It's a wake-up call we desperately needed. And yeah, he's all right. And hey, we ended with Kyle's nephew. He's all right. Little man's okay. Awesome. That's what I want to hear. So with that said, with all that out of the way, it is 11:33. I talked for 42 minutes, it said here, straight. About what? I don't know, but I gave you an after show because I'm obligated to. Talked about my thoughts, my feelings, me quitting stuff, transitioning, you know, into something different. It's gonna be interesting. That being said, though, I love you guys. I appreciate you. Understand, I hope maybe if anything you got out of here is that I don't take y'all for granted, man. I'm actually just surprised you guys haven't fucking left. But I love you guys. Because of you, I get to do the things I do. Because of you, we get to meet awesome people, create awesome things, and dream big. And it's all because of your support over here at patreon.com/PSTrophyRoom. Again, give me ideas for Patreon shows that maybe you'd like to see, or maybe you think we could workshop. Let me know in the comment section down below. But with all that said, with all that out of the way, everybody, that's been me. That's been this post show. And make sure you still send your well wishes to Kyle. Love him. Love you. Keep your wits about you. Keep hunting. Keep playing PlayStation. See you guys.